This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. Good afternoon. It's great to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Noon Business Hour. As another week begins, I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We have bright sunshine this afternoon, a high temperature of 22. Right now it's at 22, and the wind chill index is 13.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. Quite a start to the week on Wall Street. Let's get all the details live now from Bloomberg and Elisa Parenti.
That's right, Cisco and Chris. After the first market correction in close to 2 years, stocks are sharply higher again today. The Dow is soaring 408 points. That's a gain of 1 2/3%. The benchmark's at 24,600. NASDAQ higher by 96 points. We're at 6,970. And the S&P up 36. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is higher by more than 1%. Crude oil futures gaining about 1%. That's helping stocks. Billionaire hedge fund manager Ray Dalio says the U.S. is further along in the business cycle than he'd thought. He now sees a growing risk of recession in the next 18 to 24 months. And consumers said they expect to see the fastest wage growth in several years when polled last month. That from a survey by the New York Fed. Those polled expect earnings to rise 2.73% in the coming year. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, we are watching the markets and also economic indicators. It's going to be a big week for that. And there is some feeling that Illinois should close some of its colleges. We'll explain why.
A major manufacturer of opioids says it will stop marketing the drugs to doctors. What kind of an impact will that have? And it is Stock Picker Monday here on the Noon Business Hour. We'll have a professional to offer you some advice for your portfolio. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
A wallet full of information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
A government watchdog is out with its annual report on the state of Illinois finances. It includes a thought-provoking suggestion about the future of state universities. We'll be talking about that in our second segment. Right now, all eyes are on the stock market as the week opens. The days ahead will include several key economic reports, including an important reading on inflation. Let's get a preview with Tom Hudson, week ahead columnist at McClatchy Tribune News Services in Miami. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour.
Great to be with you, Chris. We will hear about the fact of inflation, where we heard a lot about the rumor of inflation and worries about it last week with the sell-off.
Let's take a look at the markets. There's probably a lot of people are hoping, okay, now we're back to normal. But can we expect the kind of choppiness as we go forward?
Yeah, I think we can down here. I mean, you don't lose, 5-10% over the course of a week. You don't have the worst week of trading in 2 years and take a weekend off and come back and say, all right, everything's fine here. Let's move on. Let's move forward. The market's got a lot of repair work to do, including just repair work in terms of confidence, especially when it comes to retail investors. We saw a lot of money flow out of mutual funds and some of the big exchange-traded funds last week. And the thought is a lot of that was probably some retailers selling long-term, small 401k or IRA kind of selling. So we want to look at volume, trading volume really here with the rally that we saw last Thursday and some of the buying interest today. You want to see some big volume coming back into it to let you know that that investors are getting confident that the worst is over for now.
Well, we are seeing some volume now.
And that's good to hear. Absolutely. We want to see the volume move in. We want to see these price levels stabilize. And, we'll see the economic data through the rest of the week and whether or not the fundamentals are going to justify a lot of the downdraft and the explanation, the litany, the laundry list of explanation reasons that we had within the last week of the selling pressure. At the end of the day, honestly, Chris, what we want to see is you want to see some stabilization. You want to see the volatility come back to a normal range. But if the Federal Reserve, for instance, is convinced that the economy is heating up faster than expected, this tortured logic of Wall Street that ultimately that's going to mean lower stock prices, there's so many links in that logic that investors really need to be patient.
And so we, speaking of patience, I mean, we say this all the time, but it really does depend upon what kind of an investor you are as to whether or not the last week or so is crazy for you. Yeah. I mean, if you're an investor 5, 10, 20 years down the line and you're invested for the long haul, this is just a blip.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, think about it. You know, in the last week or so, folks may be getting their monthly or end of year statements for their 401ks or their IRAs or even just their normal margin investment accounts, and they're going to wait another month before they open up those new investment statements. And whether or not the market's going to do some repair, this may wind up just being a blip versus something that really is showing significant damage in the pocketbooks and the savings of Americans for the long-term investment. And again, think about the environment that this is happening. This is the stock market. We're not talking about economic data that is moving down, that you're seeing a downdraft of gross domestic product or of wages or a big updraft in unemployment. In fact, quite the contrary. All of those things are pointing to really solid fundamentals.
Let's talk about the president's infrastructure plan. He had an event to talk about it and tout it this morning. Kind of interesting. The top line is it's a $1.5 trillion plan, but then you dig in, you find out only $200 billion of that is federal money, and it's designed to incentivize states and cities to do projects. What do you make of this?
It's a financing plan, right? I mean, that's what this is ultimately, kind of a loan to value, think of it that way, a down payment. But it also, to some degree, I think, reverses the traditional funding order for big transportation projects. Whereas the federal government used to be kind of the first money in to be the magnet to get local governments and state governments to pony up some cash. It's the other way around. In fact, I've had Department of Transportation officials tell me early on in this administration that what's happened here is the federal government now wants to see transportation plans that already have a financing plan, and they want to put in the last dime, not the first dollar. Looks to me on first glance that this plan from the White House is very similar to that. And that means for places like Illinois, for places like Chicago, which are already financially constrained, could be difficult to find those new dollars to take advantage of the federal money here.
All right, Tom, always nice to talk to you. Thanks for joining us today. Tom Hudson, week ahead columnist at McClatchy Tribune News Services in Miami. And up next, a respected watchdog group believes that less could be more when it comes to Illinois' public universities.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Civic Federation is out with its annual report on state finances. It includes some suggestions that are certain to stir debate. Let's get more from Greg Hines, columnist at Crain's Chicago Business. Greg, the thing that's really, I think, making shockwaves as people think about it is the proposal that maybe the state needs to do away with some of its universities. Tell us about this, and why does the Civic Federation think this might be good?
Well, Most politicians, when they run for office, particularly the candidates for government, only talk about one side of the equation. They say, well, we're going to raise a bunch of taxes, we've got to do that, or they say we're going to cut a bunch of programs. The Civic Federation kind of tries to split the difference and say, hey, if we're going to have pain, let's be sensible about it and have some pain all around so we really deal with the problem. So they have up their new list this year, and at the top of the list, and you're right, it's going to absolutely generate some squawks, is a proposal that says, hey, the state's been losing population. The percentage of our population that is here that are college age or about to be college age is going down. So maybe we ought to think about closing some state schools because some schools have had big enrollment drops in recent years. There are those that would say, hey, well, that's because we didn't fund them, and if you fund them, their enrollments will go back up. But I think the Federation raises the numbers behind this are adequate to raise some good questions. Maybe we ought to look at this.
If I remember right from your column, the Federation says that some of these struggles in enrollment started well before the funding issues in Illinois. It's just a trend.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, the fact is the state of Illinois has fewer people than it used to, and we're an older state than we used to be, and they're just less, I mean, you know, the colleges are generally serve people 19, 20, 21, 22. Well, that age group has gone down, and more of them are going out of state. And we may get the ones that are out of state to come back, but that doesn't mean that we don't have a problem that we ought to look at.
Is there a smaller population of college-age students living in Illinois than there were in past years?
There is. We're an older society, which means that people are beyond college years, for good or bad. There's fewer of us than there used to be. The state population has decreased in recent years. So, yes, there are fewer.
And we in Illinois, I mean, I'm thinking just about the Chicago area. I mean, I don't know how we are compared to other states, but there are a lot of state options if you want to go to school in Illinois.
Well, I don't want to, you know, I don't think their intention and my intention here is not to bash any particular school, but the state clearly has a budget problem, and we need to look at some difficult potential decisions. There's lots of other stuff on here that will make people howl. The same proposal calls for taxing cable TV at the state level, calls for taxing retirement incomes. A lot of people don't like that either, but the Federation's bottom line is, hey, if we're going to get out of the woods and finally get back on our feet and generate jobs and confidence in the state, we've got to be on a solid fiscal footing, and we need to look at some stuff like this.
Yeah, and I'm right along with you there in not wanting to say, you know, this school's bad, this school's weak, or something like that. It's just, at some point, it's a matter of economics, and without some significant change, everyone seems like they're going to continue struggling, each of these schools.
That's a fair point. I mean, I believe in college education. All kinds of research shows that to generate jobs and growth, you have to have an educated population that has the skills that are needed for the middle of the 21st century. But there's only so much money, and you can't do everything. And periodically, I think a smart person says, all right, given the need and given the trends, is this where we want to put our money, or do we want to shift it somewhere else?
Are we going to be hearing about this during the gubernatorial campaigns?
Only, I suspect, people deploring it. So far, to summarize, none of the gubernatorial candidates is exactly profiles of courage here. The Democrats are talking about we need a graduated income tax, and maybe we'll tax legal marijuana. The Republicans, particularly Jeannie Ives, are saying we got to cut our spending and repeal the tax increase that we did have. There's very little in the middle. That's what's kind of notable about this particular report. It kind of tries to go right down the center and say, hey, you need to do some stuff that hurts, but it's necessary on both sides.
Greg, thanks so much for joining us. Greg Hines, columnist at Crain Chicago Business. Still ahead, growing cries over opioid addiction force a change at a major drug maker.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. All the latest business news from Bloomberg, sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks. Here's Elisa Parenti.
A big run higher today, Cisco. The Dow is up 416 points, a gain of 1.75%. The benchmark moving above 24,000. The NASDAQ composite is close to moving back to 7,000. It's higher by 97 points. And the S&P up 37. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is higher by more than 1%. Crude futures gaining ground. They're up almost 1%. And at 59.70, earlier in the session, we did move above $60 a barrel. We have a check of the grain markets with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
Super dry weather in Argentina pushed grain prices higher. We have July beans up 15.5 at 10.19. July corn up 4.5 at 382, and July wheat at 487.5, up 12.75. They are the main Argentina seller in the world of bean oil, biggest market there, and their beans are short supplied due to dry weather. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Markets are higher to start the week. We'll put the spotlight on Wall Street.
Stock Picker Monday. We'll have suggestions from an investment pro.
A leading maker of opioids is bowing to pressure and changing its marketing plan.
Southwest Airlines works to get back up to speed after a shortage of de-icer at Midway Airport, canceling about 250 flights.
President Trump is urging Congress to pass what he calls the biggest and boldest infrastructure plan in U.S. history.
Markets are higher. The Dow up 405. The NASDAQ up 99, and the S&P 500 up by 37.
Sunshine in Chicagoland throughout the day with temperatures hovering in the low to mid 20s. We'll be in the 40s by Wednesday and Thursday. Right now, 22 O'Hare, 25 Midway, 22 degrees along Chicago's lakefront. The new business hour is presented by Old Second Bank.
The stocks are off to a high-flying start of the week. Will it last? We are joined by Michael Palumbo, founder of Third Millennium Trading and author of the book Calculated Risk. Here in Chicago. Michael, welcome back to the Noon Business Hour.
Good afternoon, Chris and Cisco. Thanks a lot for having me on.
Is it too soon to say that we've been watching a correction?
Well, they're definitely, you know what, everybody has their own definition of what a correction is. Some people say 10%, but, you know, the bottom line, when volatility spikes like it has right now, I would definitely call this a correction. It's just a matter of you know, your definition. But anytime you see the VIX, you know, at 30, you're definitely having some kind of a reset in the stock market.
And what do the fundamentals tell you? The fundamentals of the stocks and the economy.
That's a great question. I mean, the fundamentals say nothing's changed. The earnings season was great. It was the highest earnings we've ever had in the S&P 500. So the macro picture shows equities earning higher numbers than they've ever had in history, but, and this is a big but, is that the 10-year bond is starting to tick up in yield, and that's what really I think has spooked investors a bit. As we went into February, the 10-year started to yield over 2.8, and anytime it gets near 3, it starts to make people reevaluate how they're valuing the stock market versus bonds. Bonds start to get a little more attractive in their yields, and so, you know, the stock market has caused a little bit of a sell-off here.
Would you then recommend to investors that they have bonds as well as stocks?
Yeah, and that's why we always advocate to have a pretty good diversified portfolio that includes bonds. Because even with yields as low as they are a very good safe haven in case we do have a turn down in earnings or go into a recession. Recessions are so hard to predict that you always want to have some money in less risky investments in case that happens. And as now the bond yields 10 years are getting near 3%, they actually are becoming a little more attractive. So I would definitely advocate being more diversified.
As still in the heart of earnings season here with several more companies still to report, but in general, how are you feeling about earnings season and what kind of an impact that might have on stock prices here in the near term?
It's been record earnings, so there's definitely no signs in how companies are reporting that are saying we're having a problem. This sell-off, I really believe, is driven by the bond market, and that can happen. You know, bond yields have been ticking up, and that definitely is causing a little bit of a headwind on stocks. But I really do believe that in the long run here, we are going to go higher, and this is just a temporary setback. As people start to get comfortable with bond yields around 3%, if stocks continue to post record earnings, the market is going to continue to rally. The only way we really go down here in a significant way is if earnings start to slow down.
Let's talk about oil. It has been slipping. It's up about 1% today, but it's been slipping. The forecast for oil supply is going up. What do you expect in that area?
Well, oil production hit $10 million barrels a day for the first time in history in the U.S. That's a big number. What that shows is that the oil market has fundamentally changed from where it was 10 years ago. Before, when you had high increases in demand, the supply couldn't really react fast enough. And so you'd have spikes in oil prices. But now, with fracking, with other technological advances, basically the supply can quickly change to meet demand. And so when we got oil hitting above $60, what you see is oil production in the United States goes up. And the oil rig count also went up last week by 26 to 791. So you've got it's basically just a different oil market. It used to be where this type of, if demand went up, it would take a long time before supply could catch up. It doesn't happen anymore. It's quick, And that's going to put a ceiling on oil prices, which is great for consumers. So, yeah, it's not so good for oil companies. But for consumers, the fact that knowing that there will be a quick supply reaction to any kind of demand increase is great for consumers.
What kind of calculated risk are you taking this year?
Okay. Well, we advocated airlines as one of our best picks for the year, and I like that because, again, as you see in the oil market, their biggest cost is the price of oil, and that should be under control this year. So if the economy continues to heal and oil stays in a range, I think this is a great sector. So if you want to take a little bit of risk, that would be that's traditionally a risky sector that I think will have a very good year this year.
Michael, thanks for joining us today. Michael Palumbo is founder of Third Millennium Trading and author of the book Calculated Risk, and he's based here in Chicago. Up next, a leading opioid maker makes changes as health insurers get aggressive about addictive painkillers.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Changes are being made in response to the opioid addiction crisis. Let's get all the latest from Bruce Japson, a Chicago-based healthcare writer for Forbes. Bruce, some changes in marketing and promotion when it comes to at least some opioids. Tell us about this.
Yeah, Cisco and Chris, this is interesting because Purdue Pharma, which is the primary marketer of of the opioid, OxyContin, they said that they were going to slash the number of sales reps marketing this and whatever. I mean, pretty much a lot of people who follow this are saying, well, that's a little too little and too late given the crisis that we have. And so the company's not really getting any kudos out there for marketing this drug that has caused a lot of problems. Now, the interesting thing on the sort of positive side, I mean, we have a huge problem in this country with opioids is that the health insurance companies are making some progress. They are monitoring claims a lot more closely, making sure people are getting the right drug in the right place and the right amount in the right time, because a lot of people don't like health insurance companies, but when it comes to this, they know through claims data who is getting what when. And so you're hearing a lot of companies, Cigna, Anthem, Pharmacy Benefit Manager, Express Scripts, Blue Cross, Blue Shield here in Chicago, they are making some headway, and at least that they know if there's someone who is supposed to be on an opioid for a certain amount of time, then the doctor says or whoever says you can't have it any more than that. If they then have an addiction and they go to another physician, the health insurance company is going to know, and there's going to be an alert go to a doctor. So we're seeing more of that, which is a good thing.
And is that getting doctors involved and giving them the information? I mean, is that the key to actually turning this around? Because as you mentioned, simply, it's not like doctors don't know about opioids. So if a salesperson isn't showing up, it's not like they're not going to know.
Let's put it this way. They basically they screwed up to begin with. The doctors did. They were prescribing things that they shouldn't have been to too many people. So in defense of them, they're very busy, and they're being reminded increasingly of the CDC guidelines in this regard and what they're supposed to be prescribing and when. And so that's kind of where we're at with this. I mean, the horse, as far as what the drug company did over the weekend with changing its marketing, there was a Robert Wood Johnson specialist in healthcare. I saw her tweet over the weekend, hey, the horse has left the barn on that. So the best thing that we can do now, obviously, the government needs to, fund more addiction programs and get people off of this. But the key is here is the healthcare industry, health insurers, physicians, whoever, they need to more closely monitor these powerful medications no matter what it is. I mean, you may know an elderly person, a grandmother, grandmother, and you're like, you go to visit them and you're like, my God, Mom, what do you want? And look at all these things you're taking. Medication adherence is becoming a big deal for not only the health insurance companies, but for the pharmacies, Walgreens, and CVS. And they're doing, I'm not saying that they've got it all solved, but they're doing a much more vigilant job than they have just because we have access to better data than we used to.
Bruce, thanks so much for joining us today. Bruce Japsen, Chicago-based healthcare writer for Forbes. And you can hear Bruce's reports on health Monday evenings and Saturday mornings here on News Radio, WBBM. Join us at this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday. And still to come, our Monday stock picker.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Some breaking news out of New York. A few more details now available. Police in New York say Donald Trump Jr.'s wife opened an envelope that contained white powder. She felt ill and has now been taken to a New York City hospital. Police say Vanessa Trump called 911 this morning at their Midtown Manhattan apartment. Police say a hazardous materials unit is on the scene and they are continuing to investigate. We'll have much more on this coming up from CBS News at 1 o'clock.
And it is Stock Picker Monday here on the Noon Business Hour. We are joined by Matt Shapiro, president of MWS Capital in Chicago. What do you like, Matt?
Well, today I want to talk about CVS Health. It's something we talked a little bit on a couple weeks ago when Amazon and Berkshire Hathaway made that announcement that they're going to get into the healthcare business, at least for their 1 million employees. So CVS dropped from about $80 to $69. However, I think CVS Healthcare is going to be the largest healthcare company in the United States with its potential merger with the insurer Aetna, has a PE right now of about 9, tremendous cash flow, $6 to $8 billion, a big dividend. And I think, you know, in this down market, finally recovering today, one of the stocks I think you should really take a look at, a big blue chip with a lot of potential.
Yeah, CVS, $70 right now. But Amazon, how much could it draw away from this?
Well, Chris, you know, I think with Amazon, it's like in the space of 3 weeks, they announced they are taking over the transportation business and the healthcare business. There is a law of, you know, diminishing returns, and Amazon cannot be in every segment of our economy. Obviously, it's a concern to investors, but I think if you've bought stocks on Amazon entry news, you've actually done better than you thought. One idea being Kroger, which had fallen from about 40 to 20 and has now since recovered. So I think you got to ignore the Amazon thing. They're not going to take over the healthcare market. CVS is very well entrenched, and I think there's a lot of potential there.
Okay, so CVS is your first pick. What's your second pick?
Second is this really plays off the Tax Reform and Jobs Act. And as PACCAR, which is the only independent large heavy truck manufacturer left. Most are owned by the major car companies such as Volvo and Freightliner, for instance, owned by Mercedes. PACCAR's been in business since 1945. They manufacture Peterbilt and Kenworth trucks. They actually have a very dominant market share in North America, also in Europe, of about 30%. And heavy trucks are booming right now, especially with, you know, you're an owner-operator. All of a sudden, you get to depreciate your truck purchase. Your taxes are lower. So the market for heavy trucks is buoyant. Again, PACCAR, low PE, is trading about 68, quite a bit down from its high, pays a big dividend, paid a special dividend last year, giving a 3% return, and you're playing really on just tremendous fundamentals in the heavy truck business market.
Those are the two picks, CVS Healthcare and PACCAR. Thank you, Matt Shapiro, president of MWS Capital. We'll get an update from Bloomberg on the markets coming up next.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. Let's take a look at the markets, sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Chris, the gains keep growing. The Dow is now higher by 505 points, or more than 2%. The benchmark closing in on 24,700. The NASDAQ is soaring 123 points. That's a gain of 1.75%. The NASDAQ just a few points shy of 7,000. And the S&P 500 at 2665, up 45 points. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is higher by 1.5%. We are being weighed down by stock in Ulta Beauty, based in Bolingbrook. It's one of our biggest decliners, down more than 4%. A federal class action lawsuit filed last month claims Ulta repackaged used cosmetics and sold them to consumers, according to the Tribune and Women's Wear Daily. A spokesperson previously said, quote, "We do not allow the resale of used or damaged products." With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.